gracious Father, we come humbly, reverently, O God, knowing that your presence is here and you are the creator of heavens and the earth. Knowing, Father, that we are not worthy, and yet by the blood of your Son, Jesus, you see us as perfect as you saw your Son himself. And so, Father, with gratitude we come. In thanksgiving we come, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to gain a better understanding, Lord, of the hour in which we live. For without understanding the hour or the message for that hour, we'd be a people most miserable and unprepared for your presence. So, Lord, we're thankful for your presence because you're getting us ready to go to meet your Son in the air. And so we ask, Father, that you be with us this morning and help us, O God, to relax under the seventh seal and to understand, Lord, that you have everything under control. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I have a lot of scripture to read and things from Brother Branham concerning the signs of the end. We're still looking at desperation. We'll be getting into it shortly. But for our text, we read Matthew 24:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, and shall deceive many. You know, this is the hour of deception. We not only see it in the churches, in the preaching, and the things that are being taught, but we see it in economics, we see it in the politics, we see it in just about every place that you look. It's the hour of deception. And it's really pitiful when you think about what they've done just in economics alone. And, devaluation of the dollar, and in fact all currencies in the world, taking us off something that was standard, a gold standard, which is God's money, is gold and silver, and putting us on a fake, false fiat currency. And then all the deception that goes into trying to manipulate, you know, the real currencies of gold and silver so that, you know, the dollar would stay strong. And it's all based on just a bunch of phooey. As Brother Branham said, it's all just a false economy. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the war is all through the ages. You know, whenever there's a war coming up, he said, no, so there's going to be a lot of wars and rumors of wars. But he said, that's not yet. That's not really the sign of the end. But he says then, for nation shall rise against nation. What's a nation? It's a politically organized group of people under one government. So nation shall rise against nation, and then kingdom against kingdom. A kingdom is a country that is ruled by a king or a queen. And we have kingdoms in this world. We have the United Kingdom. They're not a nation. They're actually the United Kingdom. And we have the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We have the kingdom of, you know, Timbuktu, whatever. Just a lot of kings out there. And there's a lot of dictators, but they're not kings. All right. And there shall be and there shall be famines. Now, the thing about famines is that there's 9,125,000 people that die every day from starvation throughout the world. The population of the state of Ohio is 11.6 million this year, is 11.4 million last year. So that would be taking, basically, wiping out the population of the entire state of Ohio every year. It's just incredible how many people are dying. There's 66 million children that are undernourished. I don't remember what the statistic is, but something like 12.9% of the world's population is undernourished. There's 795 million people that don't get enough food for their bodies to stay healthy. 795 million. That's almost a billion people in the world. One in six. I left my statistics back in there, but just we're in a tremendously dire time that we're living in, and Jesus says that, you know, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and we see the pestilence is not only biological or microbial or a viral, but it's also the pollutions causing illnesses and sicknesses and everything else. The air is polluted, the water is polluted, the food that you eat. You say, well, I eat organic. No, you don't. Nobody eats organic because the rain that falls is not organic. The rain that falls has all kinds of chemicals and everything else in it, has radiation and everything else. So don't think that you're doing better by eating organic, but you're getting less because you're not getting all the poisons they put to keep the bugs away. But the fact is that you're still, there isn't such a thing as organic in this hour. Now, if you could go back 200 years ago, you might find an organic. But the rains that fall down, I mean, acid rains, you know, it actually destroys cars and everything else. And what do you think it's doing to the food? What do you think it's doing to you? Why do you think people have bad acid problems in their stomachs? You know, the way that they raise animals, I mean, it's incredibly how they just basically open their mouth, shove down some pills and everything else. And it's everything is geared against you. Everything is geared to make you go insane. And that's really where we want to get to this morning, is to show the conditions of the world has gone into pure insanity. And she said, all of these, pestilence and earthquakes and all these things, you know, all of them are just the beginning. Just the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up. After the beginning of sorrows, which we see now. Then, there's coming the time. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations, all political bodies of people, for my name's sake. And then shall be many offended. Now that word is scandalon. It's Greek word scandalon. And it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm offended because you said this. It actually means all, and many shall be set up in a trap. The word scandalon actually means like a trap switch. You know, like you have a stick when you're a kid, you may put a box up there, put a little stick, put a string on it, and when the bird comes under, you put some breadcrumbs in, or a bird or a squirrel, whatever comes in, you pull the stick and it falls down. That's scandalon. In other words, people are being set up for the fall. They're being set up because of all the pestilence and all the famine and all the things combined that to walk out of here as a sane individual in this hour, it's going to take one thing, and that's the grace of God. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Listen, we've seen more hate coming out. There's two things that really engender hate: politics and religion. We got the Christian hating the Jew. We got the Jew hating, the Christian. We got the Muslim hating everybody. It's just incredible how much hate. And they shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure. And brother, let me tell you, you can't endure on your own. There's only one thing that will save you, and that is the grace of God. Amen. And this God, listen, let me just show you. This is, I don't know if I can make it any bigger, but this is beginning in 1906 with the great earthquake we had. And this is the earthquake picture today. And these are earthquakes above 6.6, these are between 6 and 8 magnitude. They didn't show all the earthquakes. If you did, you'd be off the chart. There's actually something like 3,000 to 4,000earthquakes every year now. But these are only showing the ones that are above between 6 and 8 point. Of course, we've had now some that are above 8 point. Okay. But he shall endure in the end, shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You see how important it is to get the message out to all the world. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. He's repeating himself, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now this is Jesus saying, look, you're coming to a place, you know, when you see wars and rumors of wars, you said, you know, hey, that's nothing. Then there's going to be all of this other stuff. And he said, you know what? That's just the beginning. That's the beginning of sorrow. In Mark 13 and verse 8, we read, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles." These are the beginnings of sorrow. Again, we read the same testimony in Luke 21:10. "Then said he unto him, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Again, this is the 10-year average of 6.0 earthquakes. And you see the steady... It's getting worse and worse. Now, why? Why? There's something causing all this perturbation. That's what it's perturbation. It's a wobbling of the earth. Even Isaiah predicted it. He prophesied it back in Isaiah 24. He said the earth would wobble like a drunk man. Well, in paragraph 41 of Desperation, Brother Branham said, "And on the Lamb's Book of Life, I want my name wrote. I want him to remember me when the rope falls, and it throws me into desperation. That is, like Paul said, after I preach the gospel, shall I be a stowaway? Shall I be a cast off?" It could happen. So it throws me into a desperate stage. Desperation to think of, after all these years of preaching, would I or could I, a place come where I could fail him? What's the next move? What must I do? And it throws me into a nervous stage that what can I do? It throws me to the mountains and to the valleys. In other words, you know, you're up and you're down, and it's hard. Because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men, that I might win some to Christ, yet with that token always before me. And I see things that's coming up, paragraph 42, and you can't tell the people. You see different things, and you're forbidden. You know, that's exactly what Billy Paul said, the Brother Brown told him, when he came out of the room after meeting with the angel concerning the sixth seal. Brother Billy told me that he said to his father, he said, "Daddy, what did the angel show you in there?" And Brother Bam said, "Son, I can't tell you or the people, because if I told you, you would never sleep another night the rest of your life." This chart happens to be volcanoes. This chart is the natural disasters. It's broken into four categories. And it's kind of small, but the red is geophysical events. The green is meteorological events. The blue is hydrological, in other words, flooding and things like that. And the yellow is you'll have to read it online. But anyway, gathered together, you see, it's just an escalation. You know, meteorological, in other words, things that are outside of the earth are causing perturbations and everything else that are causing weather and catastrophes. And then geophysical are earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which are also partially meteorological in nature, because we have now 70 active volcanoes. Back in the beginning of the century, we had just a few, two or three. You see, it's just mounting, and it's incredible. Let me read again, paragraph 42. He says, "And I see things coming that's coming up, and you can't tell the people." Now, this one here happens to be global volcanic activity going back from the zero, which is back when Christ was born, and you see how in the last 40 years, I think that is. Let me see if I can blow this up a little bit more here. It's a little bit too foggy. So, anyway, you see the last 100 years or so, it's just gone straight up. We're at the end time. There's no doubt about it. We can't see things happen like this. I mean, this is almost the same exact thing as if you would overlay it as with the dollar being the printing of money around the world. It laid pretty well flat until 1913 when the Federal Reserve took over, and then other central banks around the world took over. And then after they took us off we had $800 billion printed when George W. Bush took office. $800 billion from the presidency of Washington all the way up to George W. Bush. $800 billion. He came out and we had something like $8 trillion in debt. Now we're up to 19. And the thing that Paul Ryan just signed is going to put us up to $21 trillion. They don't have enough trees to print $21 trillion. It's all digits. That's why they want to get rid of cash. They control everything. Give you a little plastic card. People are using them now. Your credit card. You call it a credit card. It's not a credit card. It's a debit card. It's a debt card. Because that little thing makes you a debtor. And what's causing all this? What is causing the shaking of the earth? And what is causing the shaking of the nations? What is causing the shaking of kingdoms? And something must be shaking the people's brains until there's so much insanity among the nations of the world that a person, that the politicians, well, they resorted to toilet politics. I mean, how low can you get? Toilet politics, because they want to make it more, they want to get the liberals stirred up. That's exactly what's going on. Now you might say, well, you shouldn't use the word liberal. Why not? Why not? They want to stir them up, give them something to vote for Hillary for, to continue this insanity. The problem is that everybody else that has somewhat of a sane mind yet, they think that they can vote for a Superman to come in, Trump. They think he's going to save, he's not going to be able to do it. There's only one Superman, and that's God himself. So politics is just, look, it's a distraction. God's only provide a place of worship. Brother Bram said, look at this teenage insane. Why? I told you the other day they was taking an analysis there of the schools in Arizona where I live. Now this is back to 65. And 80% of the children in school is mentally retarded. What will their children be? 80% back in 65. That's the people in school like Brother Don and I and Steve. 65. We're in junior high school. We can't have another generation. We're at the end. Jesus said that these things would come. Look at all the television and things getting these fictitious things in order. It'll come a time, I predict, that people will be completely, totally insane. The whole world will be. The Bible speaks of such hideous sights as they show in movies today of some prehistoric creature's age that lived in the earth so many thousands and millions of years, hatch and come forth to some. And that's just a minor thing to just what's going to happen. And you know, that was 30 years before Jurassic Park came out. He said, that's just a minor thing of what's going to happen. When hell is opened up and the devil comes out. With all of his mysterious things of women or locusts with hair like women and teeth like lions, why the world will be completely, totally insane. It's not just about 1 degree from it now. Now this is a picture of CERN. CERN actually has at the entrance of CERN between the two big buildings, and there's actually three buildings that are in a U-shape, and they have this big statue of CERN and of Shiva. You see the picture in the middle? That's Shiva. That's the Hindu lord of darkness. And you think things are crazy today with all the toilet politics and LGBT tummy rot and gay marriage and all that filthy Obama sodomite agenda. But just wait until hell opens its doors and Satan himself comes out incarnate. The 2 Thessalonians 2:1, we read, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now, some say, well, the falling away is just everybody. Well, it could be. I mean, you look at this nation, 65% claim to be Christian, and yet look at the abomination going on in this nation. I mean, look at the abomination that was voted in, and they keep voting in. And Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting another different result. You know, they're voting for either Democrat or Republican, and they're expecting change. Well, they're getting change, all right. That's all that's left in your pockets. And the people are insane to put somebody in like that. They're insane. It shows the insanity level of this nation has risen to an all-time high. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship. And so he, as God, will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, that's God, who now letteth, in other words, God's letting this stuff happen, will continue to let or to allow until he, God, be taken out of the way. In other words, when God goes up from the midst of humanity. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that apocalypse or unveiling, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. In other words, God comes with his parousia, his presence, and then during the time of God's presence, he lets us know what this is all about so that it doesn't affect us as far as falling for it. In other words, that's what the revealing and unveiling of it. And then it says at the same time God has his presence, he said that Satan comes forth and he has a presence as well. He has a parousia. Then shall that wicked be revealed or unveiled, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him whose presence is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they rejected or they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unright wise thinking. So we're looking at a time when the Holy Ghost, who is in the midst of the earth, leaves the earth, and we with him. Then shall the wicked one be unveiled and come totally into power. From the Weiss translation, 2 Thessalonians 2, 5-7, do you not remember that while I was still with you, I kept on telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity in a strategic appointed time. For the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding down the lawlessness, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity. You think it's bad now, with the potty politics and all this other stuff. Wait till we're gone. Wait till the elect of God are caught up with him. So I see here that the scripture speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then, as if in one breath, Paul also tells us this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now, the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if he were not here. And if we are to be gathered together to him first, then when he goes, we go. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leave. So if we are gathered together unto him first, then it is he that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. The Bible says he took them up. It doesn't say they walked up. It says they were carried up. Now, we don't know how that happened, but we know that they were actually translated somehow up to the top of the mountain. Now, we're going to be getting into this more and more of the study of the end time. I want to show you more detail, more specifically, because, you know, there's actually, I was listening to a program the other day and found that only 20% of the world's Christians, and there's 2.5 billion people in the world that claim that they're Christian. And of the 2.5 billion, there's only 20% that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And of those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, like the Baptists and the Assemblies of God and certain denominations like them. And of course, the message, we do too. But there's such a big diversity between our understanding and theirs. They have no clue about the appearing before the coming. They have no clue about a shout, voice, and trump. They have no clue about the order of the resurrection. They have no clue about all these things that we understand. They have no clue about Alpha becoming Omega. They're clueless. They just think somehow they can live any old life, and because they professed at one time, John 3:16, that God, you know, so loved the world, you know, that He saved, you know, that He gave Himself, or gave His only begotten Son. And so they say, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah, I'm saved, and I'm going in a rapture. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so you got 20% of 2.5 billion, which makes 500 million people think they're going in a rapture. Well, Brother Branson would be one in a million. So you got 500 million who think you might have 500 people make it. That's a scary thing. Not if you're a believer. Mm-hmm. Not if you're a true believer. So I want to get in and show you how the fallacy of then the other 80%. They believe that the bride will go through a 7 years of tribulation, then after that there'll be a rapture and they'll be saved. Saved from what? The tribulation ends with the total annihilation of the earth. They'll be hunted down like dogs is what they'll be hunted down like. Now from the second seal, Brother Branson, the Bible said that he would be sitting in the temple of God, worshiping like God. When that little doctrine become incarnate, he's talking about the Nicolaitan doctrine, he become a vicar instead of the Son of God. See? Oh my. That awful deceiving spirit, if you want to read that, read in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, and you can see where it's at. And of course, you will remember Satan is the head of all political power of every nation. So I don't care if Donald Trump gets in or not, Satan's still going to be in charge. So much for politics, right, John? It's not going to happen. I mean, I appreciate the fact that there's at least a number of people out there that see the condition of this nation. I'm thankful that there are people that at least see that. But they don't realize that they're naked and miserable. And they don't know it. He said that awful deceiving spirit, if you want to read it, read 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. We've already read it. And you can see where it's at. And of course, you will remember Satan is ahead of all political power of every nation. How many knows that? You want to put it down? Matthew 4 and 8. Satan took up Jesus up to a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world that ever was or ever would be in a moment. Talk about a person, he said, and I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. And Jesus knew that he was going to fall heir to them. So Satan owns every nation. Now, again from the second seal, he says, now watch. Satan, when he incarnates himself in his subjects, plural, they do the work that he did. Don't you see? What did he do? He come right to the innocent woman to deceive her, and that's exactly what some of these devils do. Come right into a place and say a little pastor gets started, let's just say a little pastor gets started out somewhere and come in and say, oh, if you just join with us, see, the same devil work. Now, that's the truth, and when Satan becomes incarnate into his church, if there be a devil, when they are the ones that does the murdering and killing and so forth, because Satan is a killer in the first place, a liar, and all right, see? And what does Satan do when he does? When he becomes incarnate amongst the people, it's his duty to be shrewd. He is shrewd. You search the Bible and you show me where God ever dealt with intellectual people. Hunt for it and see if it isn't always intellectuals that are devil-possessed. It's a big word, but it's true. I challenge you to take the lineage from Abel to Cain and them 14 generations, run them out, and see which ones was on the smart side and which ones was on the humble side. Again, he says, but now, in the age after the church goes home. But in the age after the church goes home, he becomes a beast. He becomes a devil incarnate, the red dragon himself, and oh my, can't you see what I mean? He's incarnate in his people then. Now just think about it. God came down to this hour and incarnated his people. The token. Now Satan wants to duplicate what God's doing, so he will incarnate his people. But when God's children are incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the Spirit of the living God in us, we do the works of God. When Satan's people, when he incarnates his people, they're going to do the works of Satan. And like Jesus said, he's a liar from the beginning. He voted on truth. He was a murderer and all that other stuff. The false prophet has prophesied them right into it, given them over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it, denying the word with a form of godliness. That's the church. God works at his place in a trinity, justification, sanctification, and incarnate himself in his people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Same thing. The devil just in a type after Christ. Oh, Satan incarnates himself. You see, this is why, and I know some people misunderstood me, but when I was talking about the names of the politicians and all that, and I mentioned about Trump, you know, they think, well, you know, you're saying that these are good things. No, they're not for us. They have nothing to do with us. It has to do with the world. The world is looking for a superman. All right? The name Trump means a gatherer, or you know, it means to gather the people. When the trumpet sounds, there's a gatherer. All right? There's a negative side of the positive. The positive is that when God descended with a shout, voice, and trump, it's God himself. And we've been gathered together to the Word. The world is going to be gathered together to a superman, a man who is rich and he's a billionaire. And, you know, I don't say that to be demeaning of the man. He's doing what he thinks is right. But there is a way which seemeth right unto man, and the way thereof is the way of death. And they all do it. But I said, do you see then that the incarnation of God in his church doing the signs and wonders must take place before we go home? Then Satan impersonates this and incarnates his people with false signs and wonders because they are without the word. You see? Below is an article from the Wall Street Journal. And of all newspapers, the nation's business newspaper, and just look at the name of the article. CERN. Anybody not know what CERN is? Okay, CERN is a big thing near Geneva, Switzerland, where we're going to preach. You know, it's about a month. I just found that out. I didn't know it was near Geneva. But CERN is a big 18 to 25 mile ring. It's a super collider. And they send a projectile at such a speed that it's like six times the speed of light or something like that. And they're trying to open up some type of a dimensional hole. They don't know that they're playing with Pandora's box is what they're playing with. So CERN is seeking secrets of the universe or maybe opening the portals of hell. Now, didn't we just read a quote a little bit ago when Brother Brown says when hell opens up and Satan comes and incarnates himself? Now, the article goes on. Geneva, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, is gearing up for another run at smashing particles together to unlock the secrets of the universe. That means anticipating a new round of conspiracy theories that its real aim is to blast open a gateway from apocalyptic demons. Or they're calling it conspiracy theories, but they're actually saying they want to tap into the source of life. That's what the scientists say. And the scientists, the top three scientists, are from India. And they're Hindus. And that's why they have the big Hindu god, or lord of darkness, out there in front of their building. Never mind, a few years ago, CERN scientists discovered a particle crucial to the understanding of physical matter. Many internet commentators want to talk about how CERN's Large Hadron Collider, a 17-mile subterranean loop that smashes particles at nearly the speed of light, may breach another dimension and unleash the forces of darkness. One commentator fretted about how best to confront them. He said, do we buy guns and ammo? Others zeroed in on the statue of Shiva, a Hindu god of destruction, on CERN's Geneva campus. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get over there and take a picture when we're there. It might have caused last year's deadly earthquake in Nepal, one blogger thought. Also, what about the CERN logo that looks a lot like 666, the sign of Antichrist? We should be very scared about CERN, read the headline of an opinion piece published by the Daily Reporter in Coldwater, Michigan, that suggested the organization could destroy our universe. Last summer, internet chatter about CERN's role is hastening doomsday spike. It's got to the point where there really needs to be some intervention, said Kate Call, who oversees social media at CERN. In September, CERN quietly posted the sort of frequently asked questions page many organizations published, but this one had a unique working title, Serial FAQ. CERN has set up a statue of Shiva, the Hindu lord of darkness, and it is interesting that his role is to destroy all the worlds at the end of creation and dissolve them into nothingness. That's actually from the Hindu website. From Communion, Brother Ramsey, now, there's one thing that I want to say just before we start the communion, is this, that I believe that we have seen enough in our day that we live in that we ought to really give all of our being to God. Now, you see the statue here, over here. The statue of an Indian deity, Shiva, at CERN, was unveiled by His Excellency K.M. Chandra Sekhar. Well, that's an Indian name, is that right? And Anil Kakodikar left, and Robert Amar. So all three of them Hindus. All right. Now, Brother Brown said, we've seen enough in our day that we live in that we ought to really give all of our being to God. We should really serve God. I believe that He has blessed us with a direct answer to Scripture. And as Peregrine gave it a few moments ago, we're at that time. We're not blind. We see where we're at. We've arrived. And we also can look around and see that the way that the human mind is leaving the people, that we can't stay too much longer. We'd be in a complete insane institution. The whole world would be, see? So we're at the end. Now, I think it's interesting that these scientists, in CERN, you see the Indian people, like the Mayans, were very, very gifted in mathematical skill and scientific skill. And if you read some of the things Brother Bram said about the pre-antediluvian civilization, he said an atomic bomb turned the Earth at a 4-degree axis, and it caused the hot and the cold to accumulate. And now, before the flood, it never rained. It says that the Earth was watered by the dew of heaven. You've gone out in the springtime, perhaps, and you've seen that dew is very heavy upon the ground. It's great for watering your plants and things like that, but it's not rain. And then when the Earth shifted, now you have, in the wintertime, you have the sun coming from the south, and in the springtime and summer here in the northern hemisphere, you have your tilt is such that when it's spinning around the globe, that's what gives you summer. So you got summer and hot and cold. You've got all that pressure and everything else built up. Well, it's interesting that you've got Hindus that are doing this kind of stuff because. Actually, Brother Brown talks about Atlantis and those things being destroyed. Or he said the Earth was the water came as a because of a nuclear disruption. All right. So man wasn't a bunch of camel jockeys, running around, with fig leaves and all that other stuff. I mean, they were very, very brilliant. And, they got landing strips in South America and all this other stuff showing that there had to be, they can't even see the figures until you're 2 miles up. And they got figures of monkeys and everything else up there. and just, there's a civilization, a pre-flood civilization that was like we are today. In fact, science says there was about 6 billion people on Earth at that time. So we have these things happening. We have the same things, men getting into all that other stuff anyway. From the eyeball, Brother Ben said, I was thinking the other day, who is able? Who today is not a nut? You're somebody's nut. I believe the world is completely going insane. Did you know it's a time that people can't judge between right and wrong or truth or error? You know the politicians can't judge right and wrong? Oh, we've seen this in the last election. You could talk to one politician and he'll tell this group of people this. Go right over across the street and talk to another group and he'll say just the opposite. And they don't think that there's anything to it. It's just, we're just trying to get votes. Yeah, dishonestly. Do you know the politician can't judge right or wrong? You see them keeping quiet on this voting the Bible back into the church or the Bible back into the schools? They don't know which way their politics are going to blow. Now think of it. I don't know how it is in Indiana now, but in the state of Arizona, it's against the law to read the Bible in school. I think it's the same thing in Indiana, nearly the whole United States. Because some infidel woman changed the whole program. And remember, it's against the law to read the Bible in our public schools. But believers taxes support infidelity to be taught in the public schools.
So you're actually supporting it through your taxes. Mm-hmm. From Christ revealing his own word,
he says, I was just talking to a young minister and his wife in the room the other day, or a few minutes ago, and both of them are nervous just like the rest of the world, rest of the human beings on earth. I said, now remember, Satan's got a punch coming at you. I don't care who you are. God, and he's got a right to one punch, that one punch. Which had you rather that be, that punch? Be blind or be an arthritic sitting in a chair or be nervous? See? He's got somewhere that he could punch you. He's got a right to that open place. And that's why Brother Brown said another place, said, keep that place covered all the time. You all know your weakness as a human being. Keep it covered under the blood of Christ. He said, that's the spot you got to keep covered all the time. And you see this nervous age that we're living in, and last week's tape, I think, will reveal to you the great hideous things that we're going to speak on one of these days when we get to a place sufficient of the opening of those last plagues to be poured out upon the earth, those vials, rather the pouring out of the vials in the seven thunders, and those hideous sights is coming upon the earth. Men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. You read last month's Reader Digest. You notice the subject there. It's on Billy Graham, the great evangelist. He got so tired that he just couldn't hold his meetings. And he went to Mayo Clinic for a physical checkup. There was nothing wrong with him, only he just doesn't do enough work. And they put him to running physical exercise. He runs a mile every day. And then the article goes on to say that science has proved that today that young children, these little boys and girls, hit their middle age of 20 years old. At 20 years old. And by 25, many times, in many cases, the girls are out of menopause at 25 years old. I don't know if you knew it or not, but a few nights ago, while the Holy Spirit was speaking here in the meeting, a little girl sitting down there, that's exactly what was wrong with that child when I called it up, or when it called up. I looked at her a second time, looked again, and I seen what was the matter. I thought, it can't be, that child's too young. But it was. It was menopause. About 20 years old, 23, something like that. See, my wife... my mother and your mother struck that age about 45 to 50. My wife struck that age about 35. Now it's down to 20. The whole human race is rotten. Well, if the physical beings of our body is tearing down like that, from eating hybrid foods, tensions that rotten it, does not that also rot the brain cells? Then we can see how women can get on the street naked. We see how they can speed through the streets at 120 miles an hour. All these things. It comes to the place where the whole nation, the whole world, not only this nation, but everywhere, is mentally gone. And then when we open up those, and the Lord willing, on those seven vials, and show those hideous things, men will be so insane after a while, till they'll imagine they're seeing ants the size of a mountain. They'll be tormenting women. Be locusts come up upon the earth with long hair to torment women who cut theirs off, hair like women hanging down and long teeth like a lion, stingers in their tail like a scorpion and so forth to torment men upon the earth, but then it'll be too late to do anything about it. You get right now, see, the torment. Now, I hope that you notice Brother Ram is focusing his thoughts here on the mental condition of men and women in the last hour, how men and women have come to the state where their bodies are rotting and their minds have become rotten as well. In paragraph 18, he speaks of a young couple, a pastor and his wife, that he's counseling, and he mentions how nervous they both are. Then he says, and both of them are nervous, just like the rest of the world, rest of the human beings on earth. Now, we see then he's not mentioning this because a certain couple were nervous, but to let us know the condition of this couple is a universal condition in all mankind. It's not just a problem in America, but in every nation on earth. And so we see this nervous condition is an attribute or an identifier of the days that we live. It identifies the times in which we live. Now, I'd like you to pay close attention this morning to what I'll be sharing from Brother Branham's thoughts here, because in these thoughts you will receive the help that you need for yourself. Notice in paragraph 19 he said, and to see this nervous age that we're living in. And notice how he went on to tie this thought into the opening of the seven vials and the letting loose of the end time plagues upon the earth. Again, we see in paragraph 20, he says, men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. Therefore, we see this neurotic condition is universal, for he said, the whole world. In paragraph 21, he speaks of how the body is rotting and women are reaching menopause at an early age. And we know menopause is a condition that the body goes into after it passes out of its life cycle and enters into its dying or death cycle. And since this condition is reflexive upon all mankind, that ought to tell you that the whole earth is in its last phase or cycle of death. He continues to speak of the deteriorating mental condition of the people until the entire world is going insane. He says the whole human race is rotten. Well, and if them physical beings of our body are tearing down like that from eating hybrid foods, tensions that rotten it, does not that also rot the brain cell? Then we can see how women can get on the street naked. We can see how that they can speed through the streets at 120 miles an hour and all these things. And it comes to the place where the whole nation, the whole world, not only this nation, but everywhere, is mentally gone. Now finally, in paragraph 22, we hear him say, men will be so insane after a while, and he speaks on how that they will see things that are not really there, but their minds will be seeing things like from another dimension or something, a real delusion, and it will be so real to them, as far as they are concerned, just like when he went into one vision after another, and could not tell then, from that point on, if he was actually seeing vision or if it was a reality. All you have to do is open your eyes and your ears to see that hell has opened its doors and the nation is filled with evil, hateful demons, and Satan has begun to incarnate his own people, and they are pushing his demonic agenda through the political structure of every country, and the people that have lost their minds yet see this, the people that haven't lost their minds yet, they see this and they're looking for a savior, but they're looking at a political savior instead of God to save them. And so they're looking for some knight in shining armor to save this nation. But a vindicated prophet of God has said, thus saith the Lord, in 1956, that this nation and the world would reject the gospel that year. And they did just that. And they kicked God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and kicked him out of the schools, then out of the public property. And actually, I think they kicked him out of the churches as well, because he's on the outside. Now he's trying to get back in. And so we will examine these thoughts on the condition of man in the last hour and the condition of the mind. And Brother Branham is telling us that the whole world has become to a condition that is mentally gone. He said the hybrid foods and the tensions are causing our bodies to rot. And since our brain cells are part of our bodies, they are rotting as well. In fact, how many have heard of the disease called Guillain-Barré? Okay, I know a sister that had it. And in fact, my own sister had it. And what it is that they took Reese's monkeys and they chopped them up into basically hamburger, and then they injected the vaccine for polio into that, and then they made that as a incubate, they incubated it through that Reese's monkey. Well, what happened was the RF40, it's a DNA part of the monkey, got into the vaccine. And so people were receiving this, I think it's RF or RF40, and it was a simian 40. And anyway, so they got this in the vaccine, and people that got injected with polio, then what happens is when they get a certain age, and because of the health, because of the foods they're eating, because of the lack of nutrition and things, then under stress, under tension, it sets it off. And then the people get the full-blown diseases. Well, that's exactly what Brother Branham was talking about there. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:1, the Amplified Version tells us, but understand this, that in the last days they will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. I don't know of anybody's job, any of you in here that have a job that is totally stress-free. I mean, just the very fact that you've got to make mortgage payments, electric payments, car payments, insurance payments, utilities payments. I mean, there's just something all the time just eating at you, and it builds stress. So then you got to work longer, you got to work harder, got to work smarter. And you try to do all these things, trying to do it, and it's just the days and the hour in which we live. Now, if you call what Brother Brown was telling us, he said the hybrid foods and the tension are rotting the bodies, and thus the minds of the people. So it's already too late. The Monsantos and other chemical warfare companies have already destroyed the minds of the people through destroying their brain cells, until we see insanity on almost every street corner and in every story in the news. Now, the fact of it is that no matter what they do, if they could clean it up today, it would still take another few generations to get back to sanity. It's over. The only hope we've got is in Jesus Christ and His righteousness to get us out of here. And the tensions or stress are a very critical thing in the undoing of the human race, because the brains are already weakened by the amounts of chemicals in the air, chemicals in the water, and chemicals in the food, until if the Lord tarries any longer, no flesh will be saved. From Mark 13:20, we read, "And except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." Hallelujah. And you'll notice that the Amplified translation of 2 Timothy 3:1 says, tells us that these times of great tension and stress will be hard to deal with and hard to bear. That is why the suicide rate is so high. In Mark 4, verse 18 to 19, we read, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, it chokes the word. And it, the word, becomes unfruitful." It's not enough that we've got poison in the air, in the water, in the food. But now also we have the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. If I can only make this much money, then I can rest. No, I'm sorry, but money has nothing to do with rest. Nothing to do with rest. Nothing to do with peace. Even Donald Trump would tell you, he said, "I know many billionaires. And most of them," he said, "are very miserable." He said, "because they don't have family." I've got brothers that have done the same thing. They're so interested in their career, that they went through several wives. What does it profit if you gain the world and lose your soul? What does it profit if you gain the world and you don't have someone to come home to? Someone to love. Someone to love you. Therefore, notice that the cares of the life creep in and chokes off the life of the Word. Now, this is a warning to us to be careful not to be so caught up in the things of this world, as to allow them to take over our soul dominance of our lives. The Greek word used here for cares is the word marina, which means the anxieties of life. And I want you to notice that the word anxieties is defined by Webster as being a state of being uneasy or apprehensive or worried about what may happen. Concern about a possible future event. And the psychological effects of anxiety are worry and nervous tension. And Brother Brown said, "Don't you worry." He said, "When you worry, you destroy your health." Jesus himself said, "Take no thought for tomorrow." Don't be worried about those things, for tomorrow will take thought for itself. We read in Luke 6:47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and shook and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And again we read of this end time condition in Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, the NIV translation. He says, "Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation." Now there are three things he points out here. Dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. "And that day will close upon you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth." So that includes you. "Be always on the watch," though. He's telling you, be always on the watch. "And pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before or in the presence of the Son of Man." That's my desire. I want to get into that tent, because I know once I'm in that tent, the whole world is sealed out. I want to get to that resurrection ministry. That's what it's all about. Now, let's stop here for a moment to see just exactly what this means. He told us to be careful about three things that could weigh upon us and close in on us like a trap. The first thing Jesus mentions is dissipation, which means wasteful expenditure or wasteful consumption. If that isn't the Laodicean condition where these men think that they're rich and increased with good and know not that they are miserable, blind, and naked, and they don't even know it. Now just look around. All you got to do is see that condition. It also means dissolute indulgence in sensual pleasure and intemperance and amusement or a diversion. So we are warned to be careful not to become too weighed down by these things which are rampant in our society today. That's Laodicea full speed ahead. And second thing Jesus mentions is drunkenness, which implies a losing of one's ability to rightly reason. He didn't say drunkenness because of alcohol. He's saying there's a drunken condition in which people are losing their ability to rightly reason and to be resolute in their minds. In other words, being so caught up into today that we do not see what lays ahead of us for tomorrow. And finally, the third thing Jesus mentions that will creep up on us like a trap is the anxieties of life. And we are told by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. So you see, God is not pushy, and he does not want us to get pushy about anything. He told us that the bride needs to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen, not run here, run there, not look for this, look for that, but to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. Laying in the presence until we get mellow in our spirit and ripe in our soul, he said. Now the scripture tells us that if we are not focused on Christ, when that day comes, we are going to miss him. And yet these three things are what the entire world are focused on, and they have missed him altogether. Notice that if you are caught up in these things, that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. But be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. How's your prayer life? You see the things coming? Get into prayer. Stand in His presence. Lay in His presence. In Luke 8:18, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. The foolish virgin did have oil in their lamp at one time. They did have light for a season, and they lost it. Now notice in the scripture that it is not just the anxieties of life, the bills and the mortgages and the auto loans and the utilities, etc., but it's also the pleasure seeking and other things as well that will keep, that will creep into our lives and choke off the life of the Word. Now notice that Brother Bram used the term neurotic, which comes from the word neurosis. And the word neurosis, according to Webster, is defined as any of various psychic or mental functional disorder characterized by one or several of the following reactions. Anxiety, compulsion, obsession, phobia, depression, disassociation, and conversion. And I've discovered after searching into this and searching the Word, and I preached 7 sermons years ago on the subject showing that anxiety is a lack of trust, that God has everything under control. And anxiety leads you to a compulsive behavior because you want to take charge of your own fate. And in doing so, you see what's coming upon the earth, and you compulsively try to gain some sort of control of your own fate, and thus that leads to obsessive behavior or obsession. Because your compulsive behavior leads you to an obsessive behavior, which brings on a fear or phobia that you might make it. And that leads you to depression. And when a person is depressed, they become reclusive, and they pull back from fellowship, and that leads to disassociation. And once you have forsaken the gathering together and the fellowship of the saints, which, you know, people in here are not coming on Wednesday nights, you should be coming every time the store is open. There's no excuse to not be coming and coming into the presence of God and getting a word that's going to help you through this hour. You know, what have you got? Brother Ram talked about, well, the people want to stay home and watch I Love Susie. And once you have forsaken the gathering together and fellowship of the saints, you have been converted to full-blown neurosis, and you have now become a neurotic. Now, Brother Bram said, men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. So I see that this neurotic condition is a worldwide mental condition that has come upon man like a trap. Just as we see the Laodicean condition of being blind, miserable, and naked, is a universal condition as well. Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. But Brother Branham said, a person who would walk around naked and then doesn't even know it, it's either mentally gone or demon possessed. Now, remember the condition we saw in Luke 21:31-36. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Now, notice that this condition is to come upon everyone who dwells upon the face of the earth. So it is a worldwide condition. And then if that is so, then it will affect us as well unless we are aware of it. Therefore, we read in verse 36, be always on the watch and pray always that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Now, we are not superhumans that cannot be affected by these things. We are merely mortals in our flesh, and we need to know what it is that affects us before we can find the cure. If we think this doesn't pertain to us, then why did Jesus warn us that it's coming and warn us to be on the watch for it? Now, I believe the thing that is causing this condition in the earth is the focus that we have in our lives. If our focus is on the things of this world, then we will be caught up into these anxieties, which become a snare to us, just as they are a snare or a trap to the entire world. But if our focus is upon Christ and his end time plan for us, you know, we have a shout, a voice, trump, we have a resurrection coming up. He has come down to make manifest to us in this last hour, then we will overcome this trap. Jesus said, if the man of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have prepared his home, and he would not have suffered the thief to break in. And Wittenbrand said in a sermon, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, he said, Dear God, we realize that Jesus Christ is in our midst. We know that he is here. He is here tonight. The invisible God is here with us and can confirm every promise that he made in his word. And not only can he confirm his promises, but Brother Branham said in his sermon, Presence of God Unrecognized, he said, I'm working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See? Now, if he is present, then why everything is settled? He made the word. He's here to confirm it. He proves that he'll confirm it. He is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see him do it last night in Fallaby. We see him night after night, day after day, and year after year. Never one time has he predicted anything, regardless of what it was, when it would happen, out of the thousands of times of what was perfectly on the dot, on time, and right. How can it? How many knows that and knows the ministry and knows that that's the truth? There you are. Not one time, regardless of how many, how even impossible, happened just the same. He's God. And if we would just recognize that and take a hold of that. Therefore, our focus has got to be on standing in the presence of the Son of Man. As Jesus said, we should not be concerned with the cares of this life. They are a snare to the real things that God has in store for us. And we're told in Matthew 7:24-27, that the same trials will come upon all that dwell upon the face of the earth. Therefore, it's the spirit of the age or the condition of the hour, as we know Revelation 3:14-20 speaks of. From a sermon, Letting Off the Pressure, Brother Rand said, everybody, it's just becoming a neurotic age. Everybody is all built up, haven't got no time, and that built up to a place that it breaks up things. It causes people to have hard feelings when they snap them off and they say things that you don't mean to say. How many of you sisters have done that to your husbands? How many brothers have done that to your wife? Now, everybody's guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You're all guilty of it. We do things under pressure that we wouldn't do otherwise. So there is an excess pressure built up today. See, the problem is, now, I want you sisters to understand something. And you brothers, you're not going to change a person, and you shouldn't try to change a person that you married. You married them the way they were. Get over it. Whether it's the way they eat, whether it's the clothes they wear, whether it's the way they brush their teeth, whether it's the way they do their hair, get over it. Because if there's any changing to be done, God will do the changing. But when you put pressure on the other to conform to something that you would like, you're building pressure. Then you've got to expect the man to snap. You understand? Then he'll say things he doesn't really mean. But he says it just to get distance, just to get some time. Now, brothers, the best thing to do is when the wife gets in that condition is just go for a walk or get out of the house, just do something. And don't say nothing. Because when you do, you're responding to pressure. And like Brother Brown said, I do it, you do it, we all do it. But the way around it is seek ye first the kingdom of God in all its righteousness. Seek the word. I believe it's the enemy coming down and pressing. I believe it's the devil, and we know the coming of the Lord is at hand, and the Bible said in the last days that the devil would go about like a roaring lion. And if he could just get you under pressure, hurrying and running over something, you'll make decisions that you wouldn't make if you just sat down and think it over. And from letting off the pressure to now, we don't have to hurry and scuffle and act like the rest of the world. Quieten down. What's the matter with the Christian? The spirit of the world today is neurotic. But that's not the spirit of Christ. Did you ever see him get excited about something? Just as calm as he could be, he knew exactly where he was standing. Oh, what a blessed assurance is. Just like a baby, to lay your trust upon him and let him take all your cares, for he cares for you. Don't try to do anything about it. He will do it already. He promised that he would do it. It's his business. As long as you're fooling with it, well then, he can't have it. But when you turn it loose and let him have it, he will take care of it for you. Yes, sir. Oh, I like that. What a perfect calmness a Christian ought to have. So, settle down. There's enough pressure in the world today, seeing the world going insane. There's enough pressure. Just settle down. Be at peace. Sometimes I think we'd all be better off if we didn't have a car. If what occupation you had, you could work out of your house, not go anyplace, not have to interact, not have to drive in the crazy traffic where it's in and out, in and out. I mean, we had just up here in Ohio just recently, two trucks jostling, and one of them took his pistol, he opened his side window and shot the other guy. I mean, that's the pressure that we're under today. It's just incredible. From letting off the pressure, Brother Ransom, we are living in a neurotic age, nervous tension, everybody racing here and going there and going nowhere. It's just at that kind of an age. And I know this church would be plagued with it, as everywhere is plagued with it. The tabernacle plagued with it everywhere, the whole world. It's a day of pressure. Hurry, 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 wait. Drive 90 miles an hour to get home for supper and wait 2 hours until it gets ready. That's right, it's the time. And in that rushing and speeding, it gets you to a nervous tension. The wife says something a little contrary to you, and you want to fly off. Temper. And in closing, from Christ and the mystery God revealed, Brother Aaron says, now you say, I might know that I was losing my mind. Maybe a man that loses his mind does that. But if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. It shows that it's him, and you've not lost your mind. Some people under illusions of things goes out and becomes insane. Well, we know that. That's wrong. That's the devil trying to impersonate the real thing before he gets there. See, there's always a bogus, see? But a real man is to lose his own thoughts and his own thinking and not come up blindly like that. No, sir. You come up with your right senses and Christ takes you over and expresses himself. And now to the world, you're an insane person. Now, if you're insane, you're actually insane. Then there's nothing. Well, the devil can't take you in complete control. He'll make you do everything contrary to the word. But when Christ takes you over, he will express that word right through you because it's him. He is the word. See, and then you can see the expression of Christ, not some illusion of some sort, but a real, genuine Christ expressing himself right through you. How beautiful. So in closing, let me just finish from Desperation 42. We kind of left off. I'm going to read the rest of paragraph 42. And Brother Ram said, and then you go so far in visions till everything becomes a vision. And it throws you right into a nervous state. You look and you say, now, am I in a vision? Like sitting right here, is this a vision? Where am I really standing at? See, you overwork yourself and you overtax yourself. And you find out things about people that you wish you didn't know. And the people that desire these things, to know these things, they don't realize what that type of a ministry costs. You don't know what goes with it. Then it throws into desperation, Lord God, I know that I'm going to have to pass it. And we're all going to. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Father, we see, Lord, the conditions and the strife and the stress and the conditions brought about because of the poisons in the water, poisons in the air, poisons in the food. It's breaking down our bodies, breaking down our brain cells. But Lord, you're not dealing with our brains anyway. You're dealing with our heart. And so, Lord, may our hearts, truly, that sixth sense, take over our being. And help us, Lord, regardless of the conditions of the hour, of the racing on the roads and everything else, and the rush, 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 may we so enter into Thee that nothing means anything to us except being right with You and getting ready for going home. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
I know my happy.